Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That throwback contemporary Christian music can only mean one thing. DC Talk means it's time to talk with DC Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Mr. Reeves, Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I answer to both. Thank you for having me.
I answer to both. I love that. We had a pretty long talk with Bruce Woody earlier this hour. Of course, you made the announcement yesterday that the city of Pensacola is going to basically stop doing curbside recycling until you can figure out a productive, effective, cost-effective alternative way to do it that actually does recycling. That's the gist of it, right?
Absolutely. And this was a conversation that we had started to float around even when the cost to bring recycling to the MRF was $35 a ton and the landfill was $45. And then now it's going to go to $60, potentially $75, plus a $250 fine if it's too contaminated. So it becomes a financial issue just primarily. I mean, that we would have to raise all ratepayers just to be able to continue, in my mind, to ineffectively recycle. And
yeah.
And that's not ECUA's fault. That's not that. It's when you tell people that here's a second can, you can choose whether you want to efficiently recycle or not. The people who don't care to do it, it's going to become a second trash can. And that's why more and more cities are moving away from this model, that you don't just make everybody recycle and hope that they do it. And then if you get even further into the issue, it's the people that are recycling sometimes unintentionally are contaminating. Sometimes right. There's things that I believe Christian Wagley told me about the term wish cycling, you know, that
yeah.
You put a big piece of scrap metal in the recycling, hoping that it's going to be recycled, even though it can't be. And so it's just time to hit the reset button here, and let's figure out if we care about the environment, and many people in this community, including myself, do. Let's have it the most effective way possible to make sure that we're doing so. Let's not just out of just the pure, you know, feeling good at the curb when we put something in, and then that's not the impact is not happening, and certainly when it's going to be an additional cost. So, what do we want to do? We want to set the value of living in the city, and twice a week garbage pickup, I think, sets a lot of value of living in the city. We all know, whether it's large families or you know, even if you live by yourself and you have a few people over on the weekend, we know the value of not having a single garbage pickup and having trash sit in there for 5 and 6 days. So, you know, I think that's just going to be one more reason that maybe a little one, but one more reason that we might have people want to live inside the city limits and be able and pay a little bit more city tax. So. So I'm looking forward to this, and I look forward to working with ECUA on what the next chapter of recycling in the city is. And so we'll continue to work with Bruce and his team, and we're going to come up with some solutions here, you know, in the coming months.
And listen, I think from a how can we get there from here perspective, having a hard reset basically where you just stop doing recycling for a period of time, maybe 6 months, and completely break with the past and then come back with maybe smaller cans that you pay for, that people start to pay for, that then only those people would want to do it. You know, that may be the only feasible way to get it to work. I will tell you something, I assume you've thought about this, but just, you know, because I bet you're going to get some of these comments, and if you don't, it's going on under the surface, is people are going to be some combination of resentful, angry, sad, depressed, because they will feel like they've lost their opportunity to do the good thing they like to do in recycling. And every time they have to throw a plastic milk container or, you know, cardboard in the trash, they're going to be like, you know, like, so just be aware that's what you're choosing.
Sure.
And that's, you know, I mean, I don't disagree with your decision. I'm just, you know, kind of maybe to be aware about that. Go ahead.
Absolutely.
The other thing I was going to ask you about is, and you said something interesting yesterday that piggybacks on a text that I had gotten from somebody wanting me to ask you about it. You said 90%-ish of the complaint emails or just emails that you get are about parking. Somebody texted me and said, the parking downtown is terrible. It's like living with the Nazis. I've complained about it. I just don't know what to do. It's too complicated for the seniors. I went to the tax office. I put in my card and tag number. The machine said you have 33 minutes, so I pulled out my card and went and did it in under 30 minutes. Got a ticket. They said 30 minutes were after I had bought 10 minutes. It's 10 bucks. It's crazy. And just, I know that's just like one little example, but you know that's sense from people, and you said it yesterday, people get a boot and it's devastating for the reputation of the city, even though that's not your fault. That's a red light issue, right?
Exactly. And And when someone says they got charged $10, I already know it's a red lot issue because we charge 50 cents an hour first 30 minutes free in city lot. So
that's what he was saying, by the way, was that the first 30 minutes weren't free until after you bought an hour or something. And it just, but go ahead.
Point is, look, and what I mean more specifically in that comment yesterday was 90% of my parking complaints, which is, so it's probably not 90% of all my complaints.
Thank you for clarifying. Within parking,
90% of them are with red lots. And again, the red lots premium has no ability to enforce you to pay a ticket except for a boot. They can send you as many letters as they want, all of that, but they have no enforceability like the city does. What we need to accept, and even conversations I've had in passing with people that I know own private lots, is I say, guys, it doesn't really matter, you know, what your goals are, what our goals are. If we continue on this trajectory, we will erode the downtown experience. And it's especially helpless in my case because of how much pain is felt in these lots of which we have no control, you know? And so, I mean, imagine, again, you know, no one needs to feel sorry for me, but put yourself in my position when you get those emails.
Yeah.
And my daughter got booted and she was stuck there at night and those kinds of things. Like, I have a daughter. I don't want that for anybody, but it's also, you know, and I hate writing back, sorry, did you call the lot owner? You know, I mean, because people look to you, they look to the city to solve this problem. And of course they presume that we are the czar of every one of these spaces, and we just absolutely aren't. And so, you know, I'm kind of just done accepting this idea. That's why we're bringing out a parking consultant. We're going to try to modernize what happens here, both within our lots and have better communication with private lots and try to absolve us of booting and all these other things. Because I just can't sit idly by anymore, despite the fact that it's much of this is out of my control. We got to do something.
Yeah, and no, so I agree. And that sense that it's harming the brand and the businesses need to understand that. And look, I get three kinds of comments on the parking situation downtown. The one that I get the most is, we used to go downtown and we don't anymore because the parking is such a pain. The one I get is, we still go downtown in spite of how much of a pain the parking is. And the third comment is, we go downtown because the parking is amazing. That's a lie. I only get two kinds of comments. Question, Mayor Reeves, on the trash pickup. Somebody texted and said, can you ask the mayor if our rates will be reduced? I'm a senior, single at home, retired. It's too much to pay. Did you guys look at the possibility of having a reduced service, like a once a week, for people who don't need it that much, to offset for, you know, people who don't need it? Is that a feasible alternative?
Possibly. We'll look into that. You know, one of our issues is critical mass, right? And so I mentioned that in the prep. Let's say we were to do the opposite. We said you could pay a fee to have curbside recycling, which will ensure that if you're paying that fee, you actually want to recycle.
Yeah.
Well, even that's a third loop with staffing, with trucks and all that. So anytime you go outside of a full loop of the city, so to speak, it becomes pretty cost heavy, you know? But certainly we can look into that.
Okay.
You know,
if you're doing a loop and a half, I can see that. If you're doing a 1.95, maybe it's more feasible. That makes sense. Hey, totally different subject. Was it Damien's Lemonade? You and I talked last week about this proposal to turn the defunct gas station on Cervantes and Balin into this ice creamy type shop. And it turns out he's going to bring back Damien's Lemonade. And people are thrilled about this.
Yeah.
Other than FDOT. FDOT's got this rule in there that you can't have entrances into your parking lot within 145, I think it is, feet of a light. Of course, he's right up next to the light. And he says they're pressuring him to close one, possibly both of those. And he's right, man. I drive down Cervantes. Tops, for example, is the exact same setup. No problem. Is there anything the city can do to protect him from FDOT bullying him into losing business this way? I mean, that's how I see it.
Well, here's what I'd say from our side of it. The value case is this: regardless of a use, if we have someone that's going to better a property that's been blighted for that long, I used to live two blocks away from there, and I've heard from a dog park to a hair salon so many failed attempts at trying to get this thing up and running, because it's a difficult piece. It's a former auto repair shop. It's on a very steep incline. The parking's a little tough. So what I would say is our interest is getting something that out of blight. And extra credit that it's Damien's that he eats at Civic Center all the time. But the But nonetheless, you know, what can we do to because the argument is if we can't accommodate this and this is going to be a barrier, how many more years is this going to be a barrier for us?
Right. Who's ever going to be able to make something out of that
absolutely.
Space?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can. Exactly. So, I mean, we've had a great relationship with FDOT. They've been very helpful to us from the airport terminal to just working with us on different issues. We're looking at potential SunTrail funding to get a mixed use path along Bayfront Parkway all the way to 3 Mile Bridge. I mean, significant things that they're working with us on. So that I don't see any issue with us, you know, reaching out to them. And in this particular case, really less about the specific user, but just more about the property being in blight and, you know, how can we best meet in the middle here to make sure that we can get this thing up for the neighborhood and for the community.
Yeah, no. And look, I understand their rules too. I understand what they're trying to accomplish, but man, it just seems like we have so many properties that look exactly like that down Cervantes. And the fact that it's, you know, the light came after the property was developed this way. And I can't imagine buying a property like that and then discovering the curb cuts you assumed you could use. You maybe shouldn't be able to use. All right. The lightning round, we always like to ask you some quick questions at the end. All right. This is a brain twister, but you ready? It's more complicated than it seems. How many holes are in a straw?
Probably not. Okay.
How many?
Two.
All right. Well, you think about it a little bit. there's a conversation.
Yeah.
That's what Candy said at first, and then she was angry at me. What athlete, you like this one, what athlete captivated you back in the day?
Oh, I mean, definitely Michael Jordan, big basketball player growing up. I mean, he was the best, still better than LeBron, for the record.
All right. Any second, because I know you're a big sports guy. Any second one? Because I think he's the iconic first answer for so many people. Any second athlete?
Yeah, I would say my favorite that isn't the A-list of that would be David Robinson. For the I was a big Spurs fan growing up.
All right. Yeah.
Went to the Navy and yeah. So that David Robinson, I would say, would be like outside the icons.
Okay. No. Very good. And then last thing is, are you a hand fidgeter? And if so, do you have an object you fidget with?
I would say on the average on the scale of fidgeting, you know what I have a lot of is those challenge coins I get now.
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
from people different in the military or Congress or whatever. That has become my mayor's office, makeshift fidgeter.
All right. Do you flip them on your fingers? You flip them, you hold them. What's your method?
Yeah, kind of a hold top and bottom and twist it around.
Okay.
That's
all right. Flip it around between your fingers.
I don't have all the skill, you know, that Andrew has.
You're not full Val Kilmer just yet.
Or do something, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Mayor DC Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.